Amen. Thank you, ladies. What a blessing. That was excellent, excellent, beautiful, beautiful song. And I like that. It's good. Psalm 37, Book of Psalms. Psalm 37, verses 1 to 5, we're going to read. And I want to talk to you about the desires of thine heart. The desires of thine heart. Psalm 37, verse 1. All right. Psalm 37, 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Father, thank you for the scripture and this passage. What a blessing it is. And I pray you'll help us to understand it better tonight. And I pray especially that we would practice this little formula involving the desires of our hearts and show us some things. Help us tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God's word, of course, is God's promise. We often talk about God's word. We recognize that it's the word of God, but we don't think about it. We don't think about the fact that is God's word. It's his promise to us. It is all going to happen, just like he said. The promises that are in it are going to happen, just like he said. Now, this passage is not a guarantee to get anything you want. All right, we read it, and sometimes we say, oh, well, it says here he's going to give me the desires of my heart. And, well, you know, I desire $1 million, and I desire, you know, and a new house, and I desire. That's not what this passage is all about. And it's sad that, you know, sometimes there are cults and different things that take Scripture out of context and maybe might give that idea, or somebody may read that casually and not study it, but instead of the idea that it's a guarantee to get anything we want, rather it is a formula to have the right desires for ourselves and then to receive them. Now again, it's a formula to have the right desires in my heart. You know, before I got saved, I desired a lot of bad things. Before you got saved, you desired a lot of bad things. If we're carnal, we desire a lot of bad things. Now, by bad, I mean they're bad for us, okay? And therefore, things that are bad for us, God isn't necessarily going to, oh, God, please give me something bad for me, okay? God doesn't do that. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above. But here's what God is doing. God knows what we need, and he knows what will absolutely thrill us to death, and he knows what is going to make us able to do whatever it is he wants us to do and to have all the blessings of God and everything else. And so he gives us a formula that if we'll do this and we'll practice this formula, we will have the right desires in our hearts. And then we will receive whatever those desires are. It is the greatest life that he has planned for us if we'll simply follow his formula. In other words, what is right for each individual according to the will of God. You say, oh, that's where you always get me. You know, well, what about what I want and I like and all these? Just remember this, God knows what's best. God knows what you may think that you would like certain things. You may think that, oh, this would do it right here. Do you realize that the people out there that have all those things, they're not happy? You know, the people out there that their life is a life of pleasure and fun and amusement and everything else and eat, drink, and be merry. Solomon said it. He said it's all vanity. But there's something. There are some things that God will put in your heart to desire. Here's a good example. The Koreas are here. They have a desire to be in Ireland. Now, when Brother Korea was 16 years old, did you care about Ireland? Not at all. Robin, did you care about Ireland when you were 16? There was no desire to be in Ireland then. But God's put a desire there. And they're going to go back to Ireland as soon as that door opens. I know they are. And you know what? You're going to be thrilled when you get back there. But there was a time in their lives they didn't even think about Ireland. And now they can't imagine anything else. In fact, they're you know, it's not right even to them to not be there. That is such a deep, burning desire in their heart. And you know, I want you to just think tonight that God has something, and many things really, that He wants you to desire. He has so many things that He wants you to want that He's ready to give. If you'll just get where you're ready to receive it. The desires of thine heart. Father, speak to our hearts tonight. Give us what we need from your word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Five parts to this formula. Number one, relax. Relax. Notice what he says, and I love how he starts. Fret not thyself. Boy, we're fretters, aren't we? Not fritters, fretters. Amen. We are fretters. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Boy, this is perfect for our day. Because the evildoers are doing their things out there. I mean, they're doing all kinds of things. We have a lady in, you pray for the lady in Kentucky that took a stand. Pray for her. You say, well, what can I do? You know, I want to do something. Okay, pray. Pray for her. But we have attacks from all kinds of directions. And somebody asked me, he said, Pastor, what would you do if a couple of homosexuals ask you to marry him? Why do you even ask me that? Oh, you had your recorder going, huh? Yeah, we want you in jail too. But, you know, I'm going to do what God says to do. I'm going to speak the truth. I'm going to tell what the Bible says. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to relax. Amen? Fret not thyself. You know, when you start thinking about God's plan and God's will and what God has, we really need to relax. We need to relax. I remind you, and I've spoken this several times in the last few weeks, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Sometimes we maybe have to get backed into a corner a little bit where we just really have to trust God. Sometimes we may have to be in a situation where, like the Red Sea, there's nowhere to go, you know, except for by faith going through. And sometimes that happens, but remember, that is the only way that we can please God. It's impossible to please Him unless we are exercising our faith. It's not possible. And so when He says, fret not, He's saying, please me. Don't worry. Trust me. Please me. You know, worry will kill a vision. People will get a vision about something. They'll think, you know, I would really like to. And then all of a sudden they start to worry about it and they never end up carrying that out. Because look, if you want God in something, you are going to have to relax. You are going to have to. I have to. We must relax. Worry kills goals. You know, you ever, I think we ought to set a goal for this many, and there's always somebody, well, that isn't going to happen. Well, that's not possible. I want to remind you that God is the God of the impossible. And again, in the land of pleasing God, there has to be impossible things that we are looking for, and without vision, the people perish, the Bible says, and these worry will kill any of that kind of thing. If you worry about things all the time, we simply need to relax in our Christianity. You know, desires He wants to give us. Worry will destroy any kind of right desires. Here we have evildoers. An evildoer is somebody that is literally, they are out to get you. Best story I can come up with in the Bible is Nehemiah and the wall. Remember? You know, Nehemiah, is God has put it in his heart, but it wasn't in the hearts of all the people yet. And so Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, though, you know, they didn't want the wall built because they wanted to continue to give the children of God trouble, and they wanted to have their control and everything. They didn't want that wall to be built. And so what do? They try to get them to worry. Why? Because the only thing that could stop that wall from being built were the builders. There wasn't anything else. God was going to help them build that wall. But if they would have all worried and fretted and what are we going to do? Those guys are going to kill us. They're out there and they threatened to kill us and they made fun of our wall and they're going to attack us at night. And Nehemiah knew he had to get the people, quit worrying, relax. Relax. Boy, I love the book of Nehemiah. You know, Satan wants us to worry. He wants us to fret. He wants us to think there's an attack out there that's going to get us. He wants us to do all of that. And yet, all of this did not stop the desire in Nehemiah. Nehemiah, so he knew, I've got to get these people to quit worrying. So what did he do? He exhorted and encouraged and armed them so they wouldn't worry anymore. He exhorted them. Come on now. You know, you can do this. It's for you. It's for your kids. I could see Nehemiah putting a little child up there and saying, you know, this little child right here, he needs this wall to be built. Why would we deny this wall being built for this little child? You know, and boy, some people, you know, they would get excited about that and say, yeah, that's right. And then he encouraged him. We can do this. We can build this wall. We can do it. And then he armed the people and he said, here, you know, and he gave them the tools to work and he gave them the weaponry to defend. And all of that was done so they wouldn't fret, so they wouldn't worry, so their hearts could trust in the Lord. Amen. No fretting, no fretting. You know, if you're worrying about things all the time, you're killing your vision. You're killing your vision. We're in a unique time right now. And I stuff that I read and things that I hear and stuff some of you are reading and hearing and all that, I don't doubt any of it. I believe Jesus is coming soon. But I believe Jesus is coming. That's when I got saved, it's because I believed Jesus was coming and I was going to be left behind. So I believed Jesus is coming ever since I first got saved. I knew he was coming. I was scared to death. He was going to come. I was that sure. Now, you know, that was 40 years ago. Yeah, that long ago. Thanks. But you know what? That doesn't mean that I'm supposed to just put on a white sheet and stand on a hill somewhere and wait on him to come. I got to keep going. And part of my keep going is to not worry about everything. Fret not. Relax. Relax. Notice what he says in verse 2. For they shall be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Makes me think about the playground. Several weeks ago, I got burdened about the playground. You know, you ever had a burden for a playground? Yeah. You know why I was burdened? Because you couldn't see half of it. Because it was grown up in weeds. And I thought about the sloths and the sluggards in the book of Proverbs, and it was all grown up with weeds and everything. And I got convicted, and I went out there with the trimmer. And I started mowing down the weeds. Amen? That's what he said. And weeds were flying everywhere. Juice was squirting everywhere. I'm telling you, it was unbelievable. I mean, you know, one area I was trimming, all of a sudden a little child ran out. No, not really. He'd been hidden for a whole year. But I mean, weeds are flying everywhere. And then, Brother Glenn, I got I think Matt Binder had some weed killer or something like that. I got out there and started spraying that stuff. And I mean, I did not spare a weed. And I mean, literally, I'm spraying that on and I'm listening. Like, I want to hear it going, no, I'm dying. Just like it says here, they wither as a green herb. Amen. And they just shrunk up and they turned brown and pretty soon they broke and the wind blew them away. And then more started growing back up. Such is the story of the weed. But the truth of the matter is, God says, those evildoers, don't worry about them. He says, I got that all under control. Whatever's going on. There are so many people that hate the gospel. There's so many out there that hate the word of God. They hate Berean Baptist Church. They hate soul winning. They hate our bus route. You know, what a blessing to get those buses painted. Wasn't that something? You know, and here's a state police guy that, you know, he's just doing his job. And, you know, immediately, as soon as Brother Hollins, the back of the hair back, there is hair back here, believe it or not, it started to stand up, and I thought, what's that guy? And I thought, wait a minute. The police all over the United States are under attack. This guy's just doing his job. He doesn't need to hear negative from us. Amen? Amen. You know what he needs? He needs to see that somebody's going to go out there and, okay, if this is what you say we have to do, we'll just go ahead and do it. Amen. And again, he didn't mean any evil, but there's so many that do mean evil. They don't want us knocking on doors. The devil doesn't want us going soul winning, and he sure doesn't want us to take a stand. God says, don't worry about that. He said, I'm going to deal with all of those that would do you evil. In fact, he said, they shall soon be cut down like the grass. And you know, those that have done you evil in the past, over the years, God's taken care of it, hasn't he? Fret not, relax. He says in verse 7, rest in the Lord. Amen? Rest in the Lord. So many of my dreams, my desires, my vision over the years of being a pastor, those things came, believe it or not, right in the midst of a trial or trouble in my life. And I'm telling you, I think it's because I learned how to just say, okay, God, it's all yours. And all of a sudden, he started to put a desire in my heart for something that he has since given. I would almost wonder, I wouldn't mind asking the Koreas, some, not now necessarily, I'd have you testify, we don't have time. But, you know, it's very possible that in the midst of some trial, some tribulation, God put in your heart to go to Ireland. In the midst of some trial, some tribulation, God put in a young person's heart to go to Bible college. In the midst of some trial, some tribulation, God put it in the heart of somebody to serve God in a ministry. In the midst of some trials. Why? Because it's in the midst of the trial and the tribulation that you have the greatest opportunity in the world to please God and to say, you know what, God? Now, I'm not going to fall backwards, but you know what? If he was behind me, I would, because I know he'd catch me. Relax. Relax. Again, the desires of thine heart. It's not a guarantee to get anything we want, but it's a formula, and it starts off with relax. Number two is restraint. Boy, here's a key word for every Christian. Restraint. Notice what he says. Trust in the Lord. Restraint. Trust in the Lord. If you want the right desire and you want that desire to be fulfilled, trust in the Lord. The key thing there, the Lord. Don't force. Don't push. Don't try to make things happen. Remember, if it is of God, get this now, if this thing is of God, he's able. He's able. He's the one that it says he'll bring it to pass. Yeah, but I gotta do this and I gotta. No, here's what you have to do. You have to relax and you have to have restraint to prove to him, I'm trusting you, God. You know, maybe it's a dream, maybe it's a vision, maybe it's a desire for a house or for a car or for something or something like that. And I know that I could go out and borrow a whole bunch. Well, maybe that's his will, but maybe it's not. Why don't you just wait on him? I wonder how many times we borrowed when God was going to give it. You're not smiling. You're starting to think about that. Oh. Well, how many times has God given it? Well, there was, you know, and then there was, oh, yeah. Yeah, now how many times did you borrow? Again, I'm not against, I'm just saying, wait, restraint. Wait on him. Trust him. You know, well, I think I want to do this, and God's put a desire for me to do this. Okay, well, don't force it. Just let, God's able. He'll make it happen. Exactly how it's supposed to happen. He is able. Trust him. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. Trust in him. Verse 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Many examples in the Bible, but Abraham and Sarah. God said, you're going to have a child. Yippee, you're going to, not before he said they were going to have a child. He said, you're going to be the father of many. And Abraham thinks about that. I got to have a kid. We got to have a kid. woman, we got to have a kid. We have to have a kid. Well, she says, you know what? Doc says, I'm not having any kids. Oh, what are we going to do? Hey, I got an idea. You know, every time you get those bright ideas, stupidity is about to kick in. Be very, very careful, because all of a sudden now we have Hagar, the handmaid, and she's in there. And somebody says, you know, the Bible says that was a sin. That's a sin. It's wrong. It's wicked. It's sin. You say, yeah, but it happens. Yeah, and it happens, and you don't get squashed like a bug either. I'm just saying, it was wrong. It was bad planning. What are they doing? They're pushing. But I have a desire. I have a desire to be the father of a nation. And there's nobody. And so all of a sudden, Abraham's committing immorality with Hagar, the handmaiden. Hello. And it's wrong. And he had Ishmael. But I want to submit something to you. Ishmael wasn't Isaac. Ishmael will never be Isaac. In fact, Ishmael's giving Isaac fits. You know why? Because it was wrong. We got to make this happen. We've got to happen. Listen, quit pushing God. Let God be God. Amen. Trust Him. As a pastor, one of the most frustrating things is watching people get ahead of God. Yeah, but I want this to. Yeah, I know you want it to. And maybe God put it in your heart to want to. But if He did, He's able. Let Him. Let Him make it happen. This is why so many marry the wrong person. And they're absolutely miserable. I don't know of anything more miserable than being in the same home with somebody that you shouldn't be with. It's misery. It's misery. You know, I want you to just think about the person you'd rather not be around more than anybody else, and now imagine yourself married to them. Young people, I'm serious about this thing. That's why you wait on God. Yeah, restraint is crucial. Relax! Okay. I believe God can do it. And restraint, trust in the Lord. Not in you, in the Lord. So many marry wrong. So many go to the wrong college. So many take the wrong job. So many make a wrong move. It happens all the time simply because we're not willing to wait on Him. Restraint. You say, yeah, but I have a desire for this. If God put it there, trust Him. And if He didn't put it there, you don't want it. Amen. We don't like that. But if He didn't put it there, you don't want it. We so many times force these things to happen. You know, I think about the children of Israel. And God said, go into the promised land. And you remember the story. The 12 spies went. 2 said, we're ready. We're more than able. 10 said, we're not able. And so they discouraged all the people. They said, well, we're not going to go in. God said, no, you're not going to go in. But then they said, well, you know what? We've changed our mind. We'll go ahead and do it anyway. You're not going to do it without God. And they went in and were defeated. Boom, just like that. And it didn't work. I'm telling you, folks, we are always going to be better to show restraint. Number one, relax. Number two, restraint. You know, I am going to trust the Lord. I'm not worried. I'm going to relax. I'm going to get the right desires, but I'm going to restrain myself from trying to make them happen myself. And therefore, I'm going to trust Him. And then number three is the response. I love this. Notice what it says in verse 3. Okay, he says, trust in the Lord and do good. So while you're restraining yourself and you're backing away, you're not, okay, I'm not going to force it. He's not saying get in your lazy boy with a glass of tea and Doritos. What's he saying? He's saying now do good. Our response should always be, I am going to keep doing right. I'm not going to just sit around. I'm going to be busy doing what I know He wants me to do now. Bless God. If I can't be in a ministry full-time somewhere, I'm going to be as full-time as I can for Him where I am. Praise the Lord. That's because it's doing good. It's just doing right. Amen. Be busy. You know, I don't know how many guys are waiting for God to open up a church that is just right for them. I hear this. You hear it all the time. Well, you know, I went to Bible college. I got my degree. And, well, I'm just waiting on God to open up a church for me. Well, what kind of church are you looking for? Well, you know, I'm hoping. I think I ought to get a church. Well, let's see. I'm making about $50,000 a year. So I need a church where I can make about $50,000 a year. Huh. Anyway. So what are you doing? Well, I'm just working my job. Really? Have you gone soul winning lately? Well, no, I don't have time for that. I'm working my job. Do you have a Sunday school class? No, I don't have time for that. I'm working my job. Well, do you visit the elderly? No, I don't have time for that. I'm doing my job. Do good. Amen? Amen. God puts a desire. God's put a desire in your heart. You know, I was thinking about Brother Korea there at the fair tent. Fair tent's not Ireland. That's not Ireland. No, I don't think anybody there spoke Irish. I didn't see one four-leaf clover. I saw no leprechauns. I was very disappointed. Brother Korea gives me all kinds of Irish things. I have horseshoes and four-leaf clovers and every one of his fortune cookies that has good luck on it. He gives those to me. I've got a whole collection of those. I ought to have the best luck of anybody in the world. But I didn't see any of that stuff. But what's he doing there at the fair? Well, you're not winning Irish people to Christ. What's your problem, buddy? I'm going to do good. Amen. Till I go where God has put a desire. Are you all listening to me? Till I can be where the desire is that I be, I'm just going to keep doing good. I'm going to do what God wants me to do today, now, here. You know, I get frustrated with missionaries that are waiting to get on the field and they're doing nothing while they wait. I don't understand it. Amen? Do you understand? It doesn't make sense to me. Well, you know, or a guy that's going to be a pastor and he's doing nothing. You know, I told this story the other day, but I'm going to tell you again because I was reminded of it when we went to Frankenmuth the other day, went by the little church that was a mile away from our house, Independent Fundamental Baptist Church, and when I resigned from Landmark in Flint, we started going to that little church. Our hearts were broken. We were going through a tough time. But I said, you know what? We've always served God. We've always given God our time. And we're not going to quit doing it now. Now, I had desires in my heart. I had things I wanted to do, but I wasn't able to do them right then. So what'd you do, preacher? I still remember, and I showed Dar and Misty as we drove through there. I showed them a ditch, a huge ditch in front of the church. That the first day we went to church there, you couldn't even see the church because the weeds were so high in the ditch. And I spent a day, and Dave came and helped one time, and that ditch was full of water, and we got weeds out of there, and we tore the weeds out, and the people in the church got excited, and they said, wow, you know, somebody's doing something. Hey, listen to me, folks. You can't do whatever it is that you desire to do, but be busy doing something that is good. Because God's watching the whole time. He's watching the whole time. You're waiting on a raise at work, and God's put a desire for you to get a raise, and you're praying about it and everything else, but are you working? Amen. Are you working at work? Amen. You ought to be the best worker. Anyway, that's a whole other stuff. Notice verse 5. He says this. He says, commit thy way unto the Lord. See, are you serious about getting the desires of your heart? Are you serious about having a joyful life? Are you serious about God blessing you day in and day out? Are you really serious about it? Because my Bible says, here's part of the formula, your response. Do good and commit thy way unto the Lord. What's that mean? Show him you're committed to his way. Show him. Be busy doing his thing. Commit your way unto the Lord. In my mind, I started thinking of all the people. I was thinking of couples who were waiting for a position in the ministry somewhere. And this could go back years. But in my mind, I started thinking of a couple that sat across from me. And again, this could be many. And they're waiting on a position. And they're sitting in my office and they're saying, you know, things just aren't going very well. I say, really? Why? Well, you know, we're waiting on a position, a full-time position in a ministry somewhere, and we're just waiting, and we went to Bible college, and we're supposed to be in the ministry. I said, really? Okay, well, good. Praise the Lord. You're supposed to be in the ministry. And yeah, and you know, the thing is, and here's how it always goes, you know, things here aren't real hot. I said, really, they're not, huh? No, no, we have some things that we have problems with. And so I usually will look at them and say, well, listen, let me ask you a question. When is the last time you went soul winning? When is the last time you worked on a bus route? When is the last time you said you'd work in the shepherd's ministry? I didn't see you here for vacation Bible school helping out. I didn't see you involved in the fair ministry as the slots were being full. I don't think anybody told you we had too much help. Amen. You know what the problem is? The problem is they committed their way to their way. And we need to commit our way to His way. Amen. We need to commit our way unto the Lord. God, I'm doing it your way. I have a desire to do this. I have a desire to whatever it might be. You've put in my heart to teach a Sunday school class. You put it in my heart to be a bus captain. You put it in my heart to pastor a church. You put it in my heart. Then bless your heart. Get busy serving God His way. Amen. 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 Response. So important that we respond by just do. Relax. Restraint. Response, number four, here's the key thing. I'm just about done. You can guess what it is. It's one of my favorite words. Verse four, delight thyself also in the Lord. Rejoice. Amen. Went to Bible college. Studied to be in the ministry. I know God called me. It just fries my gizzard. Somebody says they know God called them, and then they're griping and complaining because they're not there. They're not in that church. God called me to do. I'm not. What, okay, now you need to go tell God He blew it. I dare you. Tell God He blew it. Now, look. Here's our problem right here. Honestly, verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. Does it say anything here about delighting in our desire? Doesn't say anything about it, does it? No. What does it say? It says delight ourselves in the Lord. Wouldn't you like your kids to love you and not so much the toy you got them? Wouldn't you? Doesn't it mean a lot when your children delight in you? I love you, mommy. I love you, daddy. More than the bicycle you just got them. Do you think maybe it's, and again, they're just children, I understand that. But don't you think it's a sign of maturity when they start to delight in you instead of delighting in all that you provide? This is good stuff. I hope it doesn't slip past you. I'm going to tell you something. God is looking for somebody that will delight in Him. God is wanting to put a desire, because he knows this. He knows if I will delight in Him, that when I get the desire of my heart, wow, if I lose the desire of my heart, or if something goes wrong in that desire, I'm still going to keep rejoicing anyway, because I found out that my delight's in Him. First, in Him. You've heard the story. I sat at RCA, sat at a station as the panels of big color TVs came around. And those panels came around. And I painted a little doodad thing to keep it from sparking or whatever it did. And the little panel would come around. It'd ring, and then that panel would be there. And I'd have my little graphite stuff and paint that little doodad. And there'd be another one there. And I thought, you know what? I'm a new Christian. I can surely use this time somehow. And I just started singing. I was a new Christian, still had my long hair, and that thing would, I mean, I'd sit for hours painting that little doodad. You know, some of your, not TVs today, but TVs back then, I probably painted the little doodad in the panel of your picture tube that you had. And I just started singing. I didn't know songs. I didn't know Christian songs like we sing today. That's why we sing so many songs. That's why Brother Craig, he throws out there a chorus every now and then. So when you're out there in the world, you're just jumping right into those songs, and you just, it's automatic, and you just sing those songs. And the best thing about it is you don't even have to be a good singer. My Bible says make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. And I'm telling you, I butchered every song in the hymn book because I didn't know any one. So, Brother James, I just started singing whatever I knew. Amen. I heard an old story about amazing grace. How sweet the sound that gave me victory. I'm leaning on the everlasting arms by His amazing grace. It is well with my soul. And I'm just singing along. And that little thing, and there'd be another one, and everybody's looking down. Who in the world is that? They started calling me the preacher. I was a long-haired hippie. I was just singing. You know what? But here's what I learned. And all that time, you know what? I learned, wow, amazing grace and victory. I didn't know any of the song, but I knew parts of them. Leaning, leaning. Why? I need to lean on somebody because I don't have a clue what I'm doing. Amen. And boy, this grace thing, that's a new thing to me. I've never heard of such a thing. And you know, God is so good. And I just started delighting in Him. And I think He found out I'd just keep delighting in Him. And I think He found out that when it rains, I'll delight in Him. And when the sun shines, I'm going to delight in Him. And when it snows, I'm going to delight in Him. And when it's good, I'm going to delight in Him. And when things aren't so hot, I'm going to delight in Him. And when I'm a pastor with people and they're excited, I'm going to delight in Him. And when I'm a pastor with people and they're not excited, I'm going to delight in Him. And when I'm preaching the Word of God and people are at the altar, I'm going to delight in Him. But when I'm not a pastor and I'm mowing a ditch and mowing grass and my contact falls out, I'm still going to praise Him and still going to rejoice in Him, and He's going to say, that's a guy I can put some desires in his heart, and no matter what happens, He's still going to love me. We're so selfish. We're so spoiled. We're so bad about, but God called me. God put this, I'm supposed to do. Then trust Him and rejoice in the Lord always. Hey, Paul, Silas, you've been beaten. Your backs are bloodied. You're in chains. What are you going to do? We're going to sing. Amen. And we're going to praise the Lord. They weren't thrilled with their stripes and their chains and the steel bars and the prison food. And you know what? They were thrilled with Him. God wants you to get thrilled with Him. Rejoice. Last thing, number five, receive. It says in verse 4, He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. He shall give thee. Verse 5 says, He shall bring it to pass. He is going to make it happen. He'll put that desire in there. He'll put something in there that you aren't going to be able to stand it because you want it so bad. And it'll be right. And He'll bring it to pass. It says nothing about you bringing it. He will make it happen. Oh, man. I can't. In high school, I had some desires. Do you know how silly those look today? I just think back sometimes, my wife and I laugh at some of the things that I used to think that I wanted. That's nothing today. It really is. You know, Brenda and I got married. We had some desires. Oh, you know, this would be cute and that'd be cute. It's nothing to what we've already had. It's not even close. The stuff that I thought was what I wanted and that I thought was my desire, it's nothing compared to what I've desired, and I've watched God provide. Our ministry the same way. I'd sit as a preacher boy and in my limited learning and everything and in my growing in the Lord, I had some desires, but God has gone so much farther, so far beyond that piddly stuff. It's changed over and over and over, but I'm going to tell you tonight, He's my desire. He's my desire. I really want to please Him, and I think He knows that. And so he's going to put some desire, and he has put some things I want to see, some things that I want to happen. And what are you going to do, preacher? You're going to push? Oh, no. No. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to relax. I'm going to show restraint, because it isn't up to me. It's up to him. He put the desire there. He's able to make it happen. What are you going to do? I'm going to respond. What do you mean? I'm going to keep busy. I'm going to do what I know he wants me to do, day in, day out. What are you going to do? I'm going to rejoice. What if you don't get that thing? I'm still going to rejoice. You know why? Because it's not the thing that I'm delighting in. It's him. Let's bow our heads, please.